Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Hour number three on FST. Mike Blute and Kevin Walsh. Hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blute. He's at the Kevin Walsh. There are people reaching out to us this morning. Our friend of the program, Steve G, he always says that he does gym cardio and the Roto Experts. It's called FST now, but it's fine. So we appreciate him listening. You know, Fantasy Factor is the only exclusively single-entry DFS site. They have free rolls registering all the time and great promotions for free prizes. So keep a lookout for Fantasy Factor's free $1 million Survivor Contest, opening about a week before NFL kickoff. Go to fantasyfactor.com. That's fantasyfactor.com. So I want to get to our season-long player props in a minute. But reading an article about what did we learn from Friday night's games, I always like to give the writer props. It's Austin Knobloch from
Chuck.
NFL.com. What?
Chuck Knobloch.
I don't know if there's any relation.
Chuck Knobloch anyway. Had my favorite batting stance. And a great name. Chuck Knobloch, great name.
He also forgot how to throw to first base, which was unfortunate. Okay. Yeah. So, Raiders game.
This song is dedicated
for the Lions.
Here's
what he says.
How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
I like it.
How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood in a truck? As much wood as a woodchuck could if a woodchuck could chuck wood. How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck
could chuck wood? All right. We got it. Fair point. I appreciate the sounder. So for the Lions, the three-way running back duel between Ameer Abdullah, LeGarrette Blount, and Kerryon Johnson was on vivid display, and based on his performance against the Raiders, it appears Abdullah is acutely aware he needs to have a good preseason and increase his odds of staying in Detroit this season. He went 4-for-16 and made a 7-yard catch, but LeGarrette Blount had touched the ball 5 times for 21 yards and Kerryon Johnson 7 times for 34 yards. So it seems to me and to the writer here, Austin Knobloch, that it's just a little bit of a showcase. See if they maybe move him here. We talked about it, guys would be traded. I could see Ameer Abdullah being moved. They have two running backs now, including one who's young. It hasn't worked out. The offensive line hasn't been good. They've been terrible at running the ball as a team, and Ameer Abdullah has suffered as a result. But they could go into the season with LeGarrette Blount, Kerryon Johnson, and Theo Riddick, and people would be fine with it, right? What does Abdullah add to that team?
Nothing.
So he'll be gone, I would guess.
Yeah. And listen, even if you're still holding out hope that Ameer Abdullah is something, second-round pick on Kerryon Johnson, he's going to be behind him. He just signed LeGarrette Blount. He's going to be behind him. And Theo Riddick plays a role that Ameer Abdullah is just not better than Theo Riddick at. So he's behind him as well. This whole time we've had this discussion about the Lions' backfield. Ameer Abdullah's name is only mentioned out of courtesy. He's not a part of this discussion.
Yeah, tend to agree. That kicker, the rookie kicker, Eddie Pinheiro, I think he's from Florida State. That's the Raiders kicker. He was awesome last night. It was noticeable. He went 21, 48, and 45 yards, including one right at the end of the first half. They cut their veteran kicker, Giorgio Vecchio, last week, but he's their kicker, so if you need a kicker at some point, he'll be the guy. Marshawn Lynch had a nice 60-yard run for a touchdown, which was nullified by a holding call. It's noticeable. That was a highlight. So we talked about the Jets, the Bridgewater, McCown, Darnold thing. We talked about Isaiah Crowell. The Falcons got shut out That's really hard to do in the preseason, I feel like. It's hard to do, period, in football. But in preseason, like, there's some, I mean, half of the guys playing for the Jets last night are not even going to be in the NFL in 3 weeks.
Counter.
Just about half. You got to be able to score on them. I understand the guys playing against them are also not going to be in the NFL.
Well,
but like, can we just hit a? We can't hit a field goal. Come on, what are we doing? So
Matt Schaub was 9 for 9.
Schaub.
What a star.
So in my Scott Fishbowl league, I have Tom Brady and Matt Ryan, and I was just trying to. I ended up picking up Josh Allen at one point, but I wanted to back up one of the veterans, and I was comparing, like, do I draft Brian Hoyer or Matt Schaub? And what do you think I did?
Neither. What? You did that?
I just, in case, yeah, I did with my 22nd and last pick, in case one of those guys gets hurt. I need to have it. You have to, in a league like that, when somebody like, for example, knock wood, Matt Ryan gets hurt, there's a massive bidding war for Matt Schaub. I don't want to get into it because I don't want to spend a whole bunch of money on Matt Schaub or Brian Hoyer. So who do you think I picked with the 22nd pick?
Hoyer.
Hoyer or Schaub. That was my choice. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Brian Hoyer, which probably says more about my feelings about Matt Schaub at this point than anything. I shouldn't even be criticizing him. Like, he's just a veteran backup. He's probably made $75 million. And he's just out there helping Matt Ryan. I'm all good with it. I'm just saying, I'm taking Hoyer over Schaub.
I feel like that's more so right. You're taking situation over talent, regardless. Like,
yeah,
if it was in different offenses, you're not picking Hoyer in Atlanta.
Like if they were competing for a job right now, who would I put my money on?
If Hoyer was Ryan's backup and Schaub was Brady's backup. I think you would have picked Schaub then.
It would have been closer.
Oh, you would have still picked Hoyer.
It would have been closer. I think Schaub's broken down. This is what I'm saying.
I mean, I think they're both not worth a thing, but fight.
All right. We're getting into my 22nd round pick.
You did this
too deep. I asked you a question and
you want me to not care?
Into a long,
I'm passionate,
long
Mike.
Matt Schaub conversation. So anyway, the good topic that I had brought up was season-long player props, thanks to the Quant Edge, which is a new website out there. Got some good guys writing for it. I think Elliot Christ is the one who put it together. So with the season upon us and the launch of Quant Edge, there's no better time to bet on season-long player props. And I got to be honest, this writer was very convincing and or highlighted some things that I just didn't know. It doesn't even say who wrote this.
Shout out to
you. I saw the writer
the
other day. It doesn't say on here who wrote this. So my apologies. I'm trying to give you credit, and I picked it up off of Twitter, and I just would have thought it would have had your byline on it. Let me just check. Oh, it is. Connor Allen. There you go. Connor Allen is the writer. I'm not going to even give you a big intro. I'm just going to spit these out. Larry Fitzgerald, over 850.5 yards. It's a -125 right now. So he says things that I say all the time. Larry Fitz is an ageless wonder. Entering his age 35 season, he gets to play with Sammy Bradford, extremely accurate QB. Bradford, when throwing within 15 yards in his last full season, 2 seasons ago, had a 78% completion rate to both the left and center while posting a 72 completion rate to the right. This coincides perfectly with Fitz, who has above average catch rate from depths of 0 to 15 yards throughout the past 9 years. So he thinks they're a perfect match. It should be another 150-plus target season with a lot potential for a lot more if Sammy Sleeves' glass bones can somehow remain in one piece. I had to read that because Sammy Sleeves is a great nickname. But over 850.5 yards.
I think that's an easy over, unless you're worried about injury. Last 3 seasons,
you should
1,200.
I'm not worried
yards.
About him getting injured.
I'm not worried about Rosen being the quarterback. So
say that again.
I'm not worried if Rosen's the quarterback. I'm not worried if Sam Bradford goes down about Larry Fitz's numbers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
I agree.
So that for me, that's why I'm saying, and I understand that, like, I mean, people would rather it be Bradford for now. We'll see what the reaction is after tonight's preseason game. Larry Fitz, last 3 years, 1,200 yards, 1,000 yards, 1,100 yards. So,
and look at the catches.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the production.
109 led the league with 107, 109 again. People jumped off of Larry Fitzgerald because in 2010, he had 80 catches for 1,137 yards. Next year, actually 80 catches for 1,411. And then in 2012, it dropped in half nearly, 71 for 798, 82 for 954, and then the bottom out in 2014, 63 for 784. But the QB play was brutal. It just was. The guys throwing the ball were Drew Stanton, Carson Palmer for six games, Drew Stanton for eight, and Ryan Lindley for two. That was why that fell apart.
Let me just.
He has crushed it the last 3 years. Crushed it. Averaging 1,100 yards plus and 108 catches plus.
As a quick aside, I am now very upset at myself. I don't think Larry Fitz was on any of those best ball teams I have. That's horrible. But here's the thing. I have made this point of David Johnson is going to come back, so maybe Larry Fitz's numbers are not as high. The difference in 2016 and 2017 was 11 targets. So, I mean, you're still looking at what's the low end of the targets that Larry Fitz sees if he plays 16? Buck 40?
If I'm painting doomsday, it's that the offensive line's terrible. They don't have time to throw. You see quarterback play like you saw a couple of years ago. But
what is the low end of the targets?
Twice in his three times, eliminating his rookie season, there's only been two times. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. This is his 15th season. His rookie season, he didn't hit 850. And in 2012 and in 2014, the year I just highlighted, he did not hit those numbers. Every other season he hit it. And the targets were way down in 2014, down to 103. And in his rookie season was 115. The only year where he's really inefficient from a catch rate standpoint was 2012, where he had 156 targets and 71 catches. So, yeah, I like that one a lot. I think we both do. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to the next one. The doomsday would be that the offensive line is terrible and the targets go way down. But they'd have to drop by 30, 40%. I don't see that happening. So, excuse me. Drew Brees over 26.5 touchdowns. Prior to last season, Brees hadn't thrown less than 27 touchdowns in a season since 06. The 2017 touchdown rate, this is the important part, because people are thinking, yeah, but they run the ball a lot more. Well, here's why Connor Allen did a good job here. His 2017 touchdown rate of 4.3% is bound to positively regress towards his career average of 5.3% this season. 07 was the last time Brees had a touchdown rate this low. It's 11 years ago. And the season after, he rebounded to a 5.4% touchdown rate. So beyond touchdown regressions, they may not lean on the run as much as they did with Ingram suspended. Peyton said they don't plan on increasing Kamara's workload much, if at all. Mm-hmm. So if in Ingram's place are uninspiring options like Terrence West, Boston Scott, Jonathan Williams, and all these factors suggested, he'll end up with more than last season's 536 attempts. But even if he doesn't pass more, turning in a career average touchdown rate would still hit over 26.5, given the same pass attempts as last year. So I like that one. I like the Fitz one more, but I like this.
Can you quickly explain to me why this is a thing in the fantasy community, why people say positive regression? Why can't they just say progress? Why do we have to do positive regression?
This is a mathematical, statistical term.
I don't like it at all.
Don't overthink it.
I don't like it at all. Yeah. Regardless.
Regression to the mean, positively regress. Yeah.
But regardless, I agree with him. Aside of his use of positive regression, it makes sense. I mean, look, how can anyone project that Breeze is going to not have bigger numbers than last year? Because it's not like, I don't think anybody's going to make the argument that Drew Brees fell off some type of cliff last season. He led the league in yards per attempt. So it's not like he was a bad quarterback. the numbers just weren't as high. And you mentioned it was the touchdown rate. And I think that that could go
given how little we talk about him, by the way, sorry to cut you off, but given how little the fantasy community is sort of, I hear on shows and other stuff, talks about Drew Brees, I'm surprised that he's still ranked sixth in the quarterback list, right behind Deshaun Watson, which is insane, right in front of Carson Wentz. I'll take Brees every time over those two, every time. And Cousins is eight, so I'm taking Brees there. Just like the offense. It's not a negative on Carson Wentz or Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson's upside to me
like
is what we've been talking about. Like what?
You like the Saints offense more than the Eagles? Like the pieces around New Orleans?
They have the best receiver of the two teams.
Eagles
they
receiving
have the best
core
running
better.
Back of the two teams. Yeah. I have to give it to him. It's more well-rounded. You have a much better tight end.
Much better.
So, yeah, but still, look, it's not a comparison.
You said that you like
offense
them better.
To off. It's not a negative comparison of the Eagles. I'm just saying, I still do like the offense. I still do like the fact that Brees is going to be in there for 16 games, and I don't know what Wentz is. It's more about what. Brees versus Wentz. I don't get your boxers in a bunch.
You just made a bad point. That's all. Not my fault.
All right. It happens. 3 hours. They're not all gems, Kev. So we're going to come back. We'll keep talking about these season-long player props after this.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Love me some Soundgarden. Come on, Kev. Tell me you know Soundgarden. Tell me you know who these guys are.
Not a clue.
Ah. So offended. As I look up at the heavens after that answer, I'm offended. Chris Cornell, you familiar with him?
No.
Passed away recently.
Sorry. You hear that?
Tragically, sadly. Gone far too soon. I had tickets to Soundgarden. It's a long time ago. This is north of 15 years ago. I had tickets to Soundgarden, and I was going to go, and they broke up, and the tour was canceled, and I never saw them, despite the fact that they got back together and had reunions and all this kind of stuff. So Chris dealt with a lot of emotional and substance abuse issues, and it will be missed. So they are a great band. They are easily, in my estimation, the most underrated band of the 90s, because Pearl Jam and Nirvana and Foo Fighters are great, and they get tons of credit, and Soundgarden sometimes gets forgotten. He is amongst the greatest rock singers of all time, Chris Cornell. So, anyway, you know what you made me do during the break?
I made you do a thing?
What was that? What was that? I missed the sounder. I couldn't understand what it said.
Disappointed.
Can you understand what it said?
It says, I'm disappointed because of you being disappointed at me not knowing Soundgarden.
I am disappointed. That's right. That's an excellent sounder. So you made me compare the Eagles and Saints offense. We're going to do it right now. Last year, the Eagles scored 457 points to the Saints 448.
Close.
So we're talking fractions of a percentage point there, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles picked up 5,800 yards, the Saints 6,200. The Eagles on 73 more plays. So the Saints 6.3 yards per play, Eagles 5.5. Turnovers, Eagles had 31, Saints 28. How about that? First downs, Eagles edged them by 6. Passing touchdowns, Well, let's just do total touchdowns because it doesn't really matter when we're talking team. 47-46, Eagles have the edge. They both had 9 interceptions. So, is that right? No. The Eagles, yeah, the Saints had 1 less interception. So, yeah, we talked about the turnovers already. But I'm just saying, I said I like the Saints offense a little bit more, it's not insane.
Well, you do know, though.
You try to make me feel bad.
You know the one caveat that comes with that, right?
What is the caveat, Kev? Tell the listening audience.
If Wentz finished out the season, those numbers would have been a bit further apart.
Conceivable. But Nick Foles was great. I thought everybody loves Nick Foles.
No, Nick Foles was great in the NFC Championship. He actually had a 4-touchdown game against the Giants as well. And
Yeah, he did.
He also couldn't. Never mind. I'm not going to go to Red Bull. Never mind. Back to the props.
Yeah, you're gonna start being an Eagles fanboy, and I just can't deal with it. We got 40 minutes left. Let me do a read while you collect yourself. If you enjoy playing daily fantasy sports but are sick of dealing with professionals using algorithms to select hundreds of lineups and entries, try the Props Builder tool at mybookie.ag. Forget having to create multiple lineups, ditch the hassle of dealing with late scratches, and avoid experts winning 90% of the money. Invest in the players that you want without salary caps. And if you sign up for a new account using the promo code FNTSY, you can elect an option to receive a 50% deposit bonus with a rollover requirement. No more dealing with late lineup scratches, Kev. No experts to compete against, Sean. Just you and the prop that you choose. Go to mybookie.ag, enter promo code FNTSY upon sign up, and choose your matchups using the Props Builder tool. That's mybookie.ag, promo code FNTSY. That was like an award-winning read right there. That was really good stuff.
That was
if
great.
I do say so myself.
That was wonderful.
So let's go. Thanks, man.
I like appreciate the ad libs too.
I give myself credit first. Yeah, you do.
Mm-hmm.
Throwing your name in there, it helps. Makes it personal. Russell Wilson under 15 interceptions. Connor Allen says this is another line that makes no sense. Since entering the league, Russell Wilson has been extremely efficient in most categories, including interceptions. He's never thrown more than 11 in his career, despite playing every game each season and seeing more pass attempts in each consecutive season. They oddly brought in retread offensive coordinator Brian Schottenheimer, has made it a point that the Seahawks will run the ball a lot. His teams have only ranked in the top half of the league in pass attempts once. Most pass attempts a Schottenheimer offense recorded in his 9 seasons as an offensive coordinator is 557. And Wilson has attempted 546 and 553 in the past 2 seasons, likely representing his ceiling for attempts in 2018. Even if Russell Wilson were to attempt 560 passes this upcoming season, he would have to set a new career high in interception rate with 2.85%. 0.85 higher than in his career average to hit 16 interceptions and push this prop over. Bet the under with confidence. So he really likes that. I get worried when Vegas is so far off. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I'll tell you what.
And what does Vegas know? Because they're going to assume that the defense stinks.
Yeah.
Right? We just talked about it. The defense isn't going to be the same. He's got to throw his way back into it. Offensive line issues. And Wilson starts chucking it around. But I've always thought one of his greatest skills is his ability to avoid contact and some of those messy throws. He knows when to eat it.
Yeah, and look, if you're going to make the argument, what do they know? What are they thinking? They think that he's going to throw the ball 600 times this year. Has to be. But currently, his career high in attempts did come last year, 553. But that was only up by 7 from the year before that. And how much worse is the situation this year than last year? I mean, is the defense that much worse this year than last year? I will say this, in terms of this Seahawks football team, if you take out the quarterback, they might have a case for worst roster in the league.
They're pretty bad.
But they have a top 5 quarterback in Russell Wilson. So I think it is very difficult to gauge where to predict the Seattle Seahawks. I think you could get on the side of saying they're going to finish last in this division. But also, if you say...
I could make that argument.
But I think if someone says, look, I'm going to go with a top 5 quarterback to go out there and be excellent. Because last year, they were very close to double-digit wins. And say that they're going to win 10-plus games. You can make that argument. They might, off the top of my head, have the highest variance of any team in the league.
I can see that. But let's go to your point about the 600 pass attempts.
Mm-hmm.
Blowing it away. Doesn't make sense because of what he said about Schottenheimer, but let's just take it as a number. If he stays on his career average of 2%, that's 12 interceptions, which is well under.
Right.
So, and I think I'm on board here too with under. My favorite bet is Fitz, but I like this one.
I think just to quickly mention
I want to move to go ahead.
Just because we spoke to Scott Engel about the Seahawks as well, and he has said like they want to run the ball. They want to get back to what they did. That's why whether you think that Penny was the right pick or not. That's why they wanted to take a running back in the first round. They want to run the football. So they're going to do their absolute best to actually bring his attempts down. So to think that they're going to reach a high that they've never seen before is an incredibly risky bet. And as you mentioned, you also then need the interception percentage to go up. So this one seems like a slam dunk.
I'm taking a look at the Bengals right now because the Bengals represent to me when I think about last year. They represent a team to me that really just could not run the ball at all. They couldn't do it.
Mm.
377 rushing attempts. And they couldn't do it because their offensive line was terrible. 3.6 yards per attempt. They ran the ball 377 times, which is the fourth least in the league. How many times would you guess they threw it? Since they threw it 377 times. Give me the team passing attempts.
580.
Just throw out a number.
580.
Right. That's a pretty good guess, but it's way lower. It's 510.
Oh, gosh.
So I'm saying, what if you extrapolate? Yeah, they ran, I think they ran the least plays in the league. They did, actually. So while that's an extreme example, I'm setting you up to saying, like, what if they're really inefficient at running the ball, they may just try to throw it. But I think what would be likely to happen is that they're not going to throw it 600 times. They'll just have less plays available. They won't be moving it down the field as much. By the way, they have an extremely efficient running quarterback who will pick up more first downs than Andy Dalton ever will in his life, you know, running the ball. So I'm just not seeing that. You know, I think they run the ball over – 450 times. Let's see the rushing attempts last year. Yeah, 450 would be top 10 in the league based on last year's numbers. And, you know, those teams were throwing the ball. Oh, the Pats are in there, so it's efficient. But the Colts ran the ball 450 times last year. They threw it 487. You know, again, another really low number of plays, but not.
How did they bring Marvin Lewis back? 10.
Just because they won those last two games. It changed the course of everything, and it just makes no sense. But let's go back to these props.
Mm-hmm.
DeVante Parker under 750.5 yards. So he's betting against. He's saying that he's struggling with recurring foot issues, playing less than 16 games at every season of his career. He has yet to record 750 yards in a season. The Miami Dolphins get Tannehill back, but two haven't shown any sort of chemistry in the past. They signed Kenny Stills and Danny Amendola and Albert Wilson all in the last year. Amendola seems to have locked up the slot, according to Adam Gase's comments, leaving Parker, Stills, and Wilson to fight for the outside. They're in 11 personnel on 73% of their 2017 plays, the fourth highest rate in the NFL. You know what 11 personnel is?
One tight end, was right?
Ooh, yeah, one running back, one tight end,
mm-hmm.
and then three wide receivers. So when they're running 96% of their plays with three receivers or less on the field, one of the above will be left out. That's Amendola, Wilson, Stills, and Parker.
Mm.
Or will likely have to share time as outside receivers. So they're saying he's largely ineffective at training camp so far. They're saying he may be the odd man out. Interesting, because I was also seeing some stuff earlier this week. So the sharp bettors are on Miami's over right now. The over has moved from 6 to 6.5 because, and we talk about this a lot, was a really good segment by Doug Kazarian on ESPN. Their schedule lines up great. We didn't talk. We talked about a lot of teams with tough schedules, but I want to go. I want to take you to Miami's schedule for 2018, and I'll explain why. And I know it's. I'm digressing off of what we're talking about, but I think it's important because we're going to be talking a lot more about lines and overs and all that kind of stuff this year. So I think it's important to explain what they meant and what I'm referencing. So they start out at home against the Titans. Why is that important that they're starting out at home against the Titans, Kev? Where do they play?
Miami?
What are you talking about?
What's the weather like in September in Miami?
Hot. Always hot in Miami.
Really hot. I listened to Booger McFarland, who played in Tampa, won a Super Bowl with Tampa, and he said when they had a team coming down to Tampa to play in September and early October, he said they knew they already won. He said it was steaming hot at 1 o'clock, which this game is at 1 o'clock. Steaming hot at 1 o'clock. Those guys were gassed by halftime. The other teams were done, and they knew they were going to win. He said every time. He said it's why we had such a huge home field advantage whenever we would play there. So they have Tennessee at home. Then they go to the Jets. Then they have the Raiders playing a 1 o'clock East Coast game in week 3, wearing black jerseys because Miami's going to wear their whites, obviously. So Raiders wearing black jerseys playing at 10 o'clock in the morning West Coast time, week 3, September 23rd. Again, steaming hot. Then they go to New England. It's not great. But then at Cincinnati, then they host Chicago. Detroit, weather's cooled off now, but they host Chicago and Detroit. Then they go to Houston. Then they get the Jets. Then at Green Bay. But that first 10 games, that's not bad. Right? Then bye week. At Indy, Buffalo, here. So they get the late in the season, the Buffalo game is in Miami, not in Buffalo. Then New England, again. Not December 9th. They split with New England last year. They could conceivably, New England has never, it's the one place Tom Brady has not been good in his career is Miami. They get them another warm weather December game. Then it's at Minnesota, which as good as Minnesota is, it's indoors. Again, avoiding the cold weather. Then they play Jacksonville. And then at Buffalo. So the way this all wraps up, the only two cold weather games they'll have this year at Green Bay, November 11th, week 17 at Buffalo. They play Indianapolis indoors, Minnesota indoors. They get Buffalo, New England, both in Miami in December. So that you have to admit, like when you start to look at a schedule like that, like the sharp bettors do, that is pretty interesting.
The Titans are going to wipe the floor with them week one. I mean,
it's still not an ideal place to play for them.
Sure. But how much does it matter if the team isn't good? Last year, or 2016, last time they had Ryan Tannehill, week 3, they played the Browns. Were horrible. Went to overtime. The Browns gave them that football game. Last year, they played the Saints at home.
I do remember that.
September. Yeah. They lost. The Dolphins, if they're not good, they're not good. Here's the thing. I think sometimes when we're selling a team because they're going to beat someone because their other team is wearing black jerseys and they're going to be real hot, sometimes we're maybe just doing a little much to get people to buy in on the Dolphins. They're just not that good a football team.
I agree, and I've said Miami could finish last, but I thought it was important for me to see that because you can't, when you're analyzing, you can't just go into it and stick to my point I need to be able to have counteractive arguments to see if I'm wrong or if I miss something.
For sure.
But I do think that's interesting because I'm saying Miami might be last in the division. But meanwhile, is their talent so far off of the Jets and the Bills? Like, if you – I'm saying, you know, two or three games either way makes you a 6-10 team versus a 9-7. It's a huge gap. And I'm just saying maybe we missed that on Miami when we're doing our original analysis. So we'll come back. We'll keep calling these season-long player props and maybe more Dolphins right after this.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator, plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
You gotta be kidding me. This song was the bane of my existence in 1994. It really was. Do you know who this is?
Red Kevin Hot Walsh? Chili Peppers?
Are you kidding me?
Nailed it.
That is offensive. Again. Nailed That's it. More offensive than the Soundgarden miss.
Need you.
That's Spin Doctors. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun.
Two
heard the
princes,
song.
Spin Doctors. Yeah, it's terrible.
Why?
And the Chili Peppers should be offended. It's
what do
just,
you have against the...
You'd have to understand how much it was on, like, in college and on the radio at the time. It's just one of those songs that grates on you over time. It's probably technically not a terrible song. But so we're doing some player props here, which are, as Kevin was saying during the break, is a good time. So what were Parker's numbers last year? 57 for 670. Ugh.
Yeah, I actually disagree.
Gross.
With
catch rate.
With the writer on this one. I don't remember his name. I didn't want to get it wrong.
You would go over?
I think I would go over. If you're not going over, then turn that over to fantasy. We're really underdrafting Kenny Stills or Danny Amendola. Maybe Albert Wilson.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
If you think about it.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Okay. So I don't even have to say it.
No, I agree. That's actually a good point. No, because Amendola would scoop up a lot more targets than. But, like, what did their slot receivers do last year?
Jarvis?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Jarvis Landry was there.
Right.
I'm looking at the wrong page, which doesn't have Jarvis Landry on it. So, yeah, Jarvis Landry had 114 catches. So... What's the worst case for Amendola?
He
caught 61 in New England.
I had this conversation. I don't remember if it was with you or George, but it was like, I mean, maybe is Amendola someone that people need to start looking at a lot more? Because he is the more natural fit into the Jarvis role, and Jarvis last year had 161 targets. Now, Danny Amendola is not going to get 161 targets. Maybe he gets 100. Maybe. I'll say this, though, about Devontae Parker. 2016, when Tannehill played 13 games. On that season, Parker was at 744 yards, 56 catches on 87 targets. So with Tannehill, a better quarterback, if he can make some big plays, if he gets to 105 maybe in targets, I think he should clear that. I'm not saying it's by a ton. You know, this isn't... And I think that's one of the things that he did within the first couple of these props, where it was pretty cut and dry. Like, yeah, you should, you know, Russell Wilson's not throwing 15 picks, and Larry Fitz, you're getting a steal there. I understand why they're, you know, he's pessimistic on the Parker side. I would take the over, though. But I'm not screaming
at 1,000. Amendola going 73rd off, 73rd wide receiver, right behind Corey Coleman. And John Ross right in front of Christian Kirk and John Brown.
Yeah, like he's a.
I think we found our new free guy. Forget Deion Kane.
Oh my God, yeah.
It's Danny Amendola.
Oh, he's a complete tier above those guys, man. He's got to be.
Okay. All right. So good. So I'm with you. I'm not comfortable with 750. It's too low of a number.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to root for that under. How about Alex Smith under 24 passing touchdowns?
Mm.
the thought. This was actually before Darius Geis got hurt.
Does that move you?
So,
like, how does that move you on Alex Smith?
The Geis thing?
Yeah.
Well, the thought process is that Rob Kelly, Samaje Perine, and Chris Thompson aren't going to be red zone threats in the way that Darius Geis is. So do they go to Chris Thompson catch passes, Jordan Reed if he stays healthy? Like, that would be the thought process, which it could push that one to... So I almost feel like we got to skip over that one because he probably he wouldn't have written it this way. There's too much Geis in there to really.
Well, he's but,
to give him a fair shake.
So to take that, we don't even have to hold him to what he said. He said he would take under 24, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Last year, career high 26 touchdowns. Year before that in Kansas City, he threw 15. Year before that, 20, 18, 23. He's never thrown 24 touchdowns before last year, and he was only over it by two. Now, the attempts were pretty low, especially relative to what Cousins has been producing last season in Washington. So maybe that's, you know, and I know we don't have it in front of us. I wonder what the interception prop on an Alex Smith might be. A guy who hasn't thrown double-digit interceptions since 2010, back when he was in San Francisco.
How many passing touchdowns do you think the Miami Dolphins had last year? Oh,
yeah. Quite low. 18? Low? I think that's low. 18.
They had exactly 24.
That's
19 for Cutler, 5, excuse me, 4 for Matt Moore, and 1 for David Fales, who threw a seed of a touchdown the other night, by the way. What a throw. Holy cow. David Fales out of nowhere. Like, every once in a while, you're like, whoa, Fales. Like, where did that come from? Josh Dobbs threw a seed last night or the night before, too. It's just interesting to see that sometimes. You're like, wow. Look at Josh Dobbs, third string in it for the Steelers on the block, on the cut block, because they got Mason Rudolph now. Anyway.
So
yeah, that's where they're at.
Well, let me just say this to you.
Yeah. Quickly. 24 touchdowns. So that would be the under for Alex. I should say the Miami Dolphins. I'm looking at the wrong damn team. You got me bouncing all over the place, Kev.
They're all over the place. Go ahead. We're talking about the Dolphins. It's okay. Alex Smith's first year in Kansas City is his career high in passing attempts at 508. Last season, he was at 505. So never hit 510. Kirk Cousins, last 3 years, 2015 to 2017 in Washington. 543 pass attempts, 606 pass attempts, 540 pass attempts. Comfortably all higher than the career high for Alex Smith. So this now enters a very interesting question in Washington. And where do you find this balance? Were they going to see if Darius Geis could keep them around Alex Smith's more comfortable 510 range, which is still kind of on the high of him? He's only been over 500 twice those 2 years. He's been around 49, 470.
So the important stat that I was looking up, which I looked up for the Dolphins side of Washington, was 27 touchdown passes they threw last year to 13 picks. So you're saying just but the Geis thing does impact that, right? Because you're thinking, oh, they'll run a little bit more. Then you're teetering on the Alex Smith 20 to 22 touchdowns. But now the workhorse back is out. So does it put him in throwing? Plus, Alex Smith runs a little bit too, so you got that component, and Kirk Cousins doesn't.
But now is this a situation where we get career-high interceptions from Alex Smith? Well, his career high is 16, which is, for him, incredibly high. His last...
Nah, they only threw 13 last year. I'll say under on the career high.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say he's going to hit 16. I didn't think it was going to be that high. Maybe he gets up to double-digit picks for Alex Smith. I mean, last year he only threw 5. How many pass attempts do you think right now you would expect from Alex Smith? All right, so Mike just left us, which is always awesome, but that's okay. Mike will be right back with us. Don't you even worry about it, guys. Kirk Cousins last year threw the ball 540 times, okay, in 16 games. Last year, Alex Smith threw 505. Year before, 2016, Kirk Cousins threw 606 pass attempts. In Kansas City, in 15 games, he did sit out the last game. Alex Smith threw 489. And you can, I guess, factor in the fact that he's actually only played 16 once in Kansas City. So maybe had he played that 16th game, he'd have got up to double digits. He would have thrown more than five attempts in a game, sure. So that maybe gets you to 525, maybe, give or take. So last year's 540 could possibly be right in the range of where you want to be with Alex Smith. But it's just not something that he's necessarily done. Again, since he's been to Kansas City, you sandwich year one and last season, 508, 505, but 3 years in between that, 464, 470, 489. Alex Smith is just, you know, for a while, he's earned that reputation where it's about ball security. And it's not about, you know, the big plays. Last year was great, great down the field. Last year was an anomaly for Alex Smith. Last year was a career year for Alex Smith. Career high in yards. First and only time he's ever hit 4,000 yards. Career high in touchdowns, 26. Three more than his next closest season. His lowest interception percentage, 1. It was a 1. You mentioned Russell Wilson as a guy who's great at protecting the football in this past segment. He was at a 2. Half that, Alex Smith. That's how fantastic he was. Adjusted yards per attempt, number 1, Alex Smith. Passer rating, number 1, Alex Smith. So this is something where last year I was big on the Falcons offense falling back because there was natural regression coming. They put up historic numbers in Atlanta, that 2016 season where they went to the Super Bowl. Historic numbers. Natural regression was coming. But it got multiplied by Kyle Shanahan exiting. That multiplies it. That's what happens when you lose someone like Kyle Shanahan. And the person you replace is a downgrade. Steve Sarkisian. That's why the Falcons fell back. So now, Alex Smith is set up for natural regression. Last year, not even close, best year of his career. But now he goes to Washington with natural regression on the table. Is it multiplied in a situation in Washington where he's sans Andy Reid, no running game, and is going to be asked to do more than he has been, certainly, when he was ever in a Kansas City Chiefs uniform? Mike, you're back with
say
us.
Say sans Andy Reid?
Yeah.
Sans Andy Reid?
Yeah, without Andy Reid.
Did you take what language, what foreign language did you take when you're doing your schooling?
Spanish.
It's sans.
Sans?
Being a huge douche about it.
I've never even
sans.
Heard anyone say sans. I've heard sans.
Well, it's pronounced sans, but
I'll make a note of it.
We're Americans, so it's an Americanized pronunciation. So,
you not? Are you Latin?
Sorry to correct you there. No, I took French. I didn't have to take Latin because I'm not that old. I'm not 100. I graduated high school in the 90s. It's not that long ago. It is a long time ago, but I'm just saying I didn't have to take Latin. So did you hear any of my Zeke Elliott stuff? We had a technical issue. I got cut
That's
off.
That's hilarious. No. No one heard your Zeke
awesome.
Elliott stuff.
It was like 3 minutes I was going on.
Really?
I was wondering
wow,
when you were going to jump in.
Wow, a lot of you.
Yeah. So the Zeke Elliott over is 10.5 total touchdowns. I'm taking the over because I think he's going to touch the ball more than anybody in the league, including Le'Veon Bell. It's Bell,
carry,
Zeke,
right?
Gurley. Total touches, I think Zeke and Bell are right there.
Really?
Yeah. I think they're going to feed him so much. I understand he doesn't catch the ball. Look, Le'Veon caught the ball 85 times last year, but it was an extreme. I mean, they gave him the ball 400 times. I suppose they could do it again. But I think Zeke will definitely carry the ball more than anybody, and they can supplement a few catches. He's not going to catch 85 passes, obviously, but I think he could be right there, yeah. I think they'll give him the ball that much because I think they just, like, after last year, they're like, we know it works. Let's just do this as much as possible. So, so there you go. Zeke, total touchdowns, 10.5. And they were pretty bad in the red zone everywhere else. So, you like it or no?
I do. I think that, again, this is one of the situations similar to Larry Fitz. Unless there's injury, I don't see how this doesn't hit, really. For Zeke.
So, like, the Fitz over 850 yards. I like Breeze over 26.5 touchdowns. I like Zeke over 10.5. Alex Smith, I think that bet is on the back burner for now. Devontae Parker, I would choose over, but I would stay away from it. So, good stuff there from Connor Allen, the Quant Edge. It's a new website out there founded by Elliot Crist. It's talking a lot about numbers and bets and that kind of stuff. So, last topic. We only have 2 minutes, so we just got to make it quick. NFL odds to have the most rushing yards. Zeke Elliott plus 285, Le'Veon Bell plus 485, Todd Gurley plus 600, Fournette plus 900, Hunt plus 1100, Howard plus 1200, David Johnson plus 1350. See? Vegas doesn't like him that much. Barkley plus 1400, Dalvin Cook plus 1500, Melvin Gordon plus 1975. I'm giving you $200. Spend it how you want. Tell me how you're going to do it.
Oh boy! I mean, first of all, I think it's going to be Zeke again. He should out carry everybody by.
He will
a decent bit, honestly. I'm all in on that. As far as some of these other odds, I know one of them.
You have $200. You don't have to spend it all in one place, Kevin.
No, I know.
You can spread it around.
I'm pulling the list up. I mean. I'm looking at Kareem Hunt at a plus 1,100. That's not bad.
It's pretty good.
Odds. I like that. That stands out to
that
me.
That means he's have to go back-to-back.
Yeah, that's dangerous. David Johnson is obviously, you got to throw a little coin down on that. That's a great get at a plus 1,350. Aside from that, I'm out on Gurley, not Fournette. I don't think that's going to happen.
I think that could happen, actually. Yeah, plus 900. I think.
Yeah,
you
but
put
his yards
I think
per.
You put $100 on Zeke. I get it. I think you put $100 on Zeke because your odds are still good. It's plus 285.
Yeah.
I throw maybe 50 on Fournette.
Okay.
50 on Le'Veon.
You're done. You've lost your money.
Yeah. I have. Why? You think it's going to be Gurley?
No. I'm saying you have no more money left. It's not like you were going to continue to bet.
Yeah, no, I don't think I would sprinkle it out more than that. I think it's one of those three. But it does make sense. The odds are long enough on Fournette that I'll take a shot there. The Kareem Hunt odds are pretty interesting at plus 1,100. I just don't know about back-to-back. And he won it because of the Week 17 situation. You know, other guys weren't playing, and obviously Zeke missed all that time.
All jokes aside, quickly, David Johnson is actually a really nice bet there because if they're going to try and lean on their defense and they don't want either Sam Bradford to get hit a bunch or they have a rookie quarterback in, David Johnson is going to see a good bit of carries.
I think Jordan Howard is really underrated in going into this season, even though I do think that he would never win the He wouldn't win the rushing title. Well, thanks for listening. I'm off tomorrow. It's Kevin and George tomorrow. Enjoy In This League next with Bogman and the Welsh. Thanks for listening.